Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is the gospel lesson. It is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. He leased it out to some tenant farmers and went away on a journey. When the time approached to harvest the fruit, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. The tenant farmers seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then the landowner sent even more servants than the first time. The tenant farmers treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them. 'They will respect my son,' he said. But when the tenant farmers saw the son, they said to each other, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance.' They took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. So when the landowner comes, what will he do to those tenant farmers?" They told him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. Then he will lease out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his fruit when it is due." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' That is why I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces its fruit. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they knew that he was talking about them. Although they were looking for a way to arrest him, they were afraid of the crowds because the people regarded him as a prophet. This is our text. Dear people of God, Jesus was still talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priests and the religious leaders of the people on Tuesday of Holy Week. He had just told them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God ahead of them. These leaders of the people were supposed to be leading the people in repentance so that their hearts would be prepared to receive the Messiah when he came. Or at least they should have been repenting themselves so that they could be part of the kingdom of God. But all these religious leaders had was hate in their hearts for Jesus, their only hope for a Savior. They were spending their time plotting to kill him, something that they would succeed at doing in 3 days. So Jesus told them this story, this ridiculous story about a landowner and some farmers who rented his vineyard. In the story, we heard about a landowner who built a vineyard from scratch. He put a wall around the vineyard. He put a wine press inside the vineyard. And he even built a tower so that the vineyard could be guarded. The landowner then rented his very nicely furnished vineyard out to some farmers who would work the soil and the vines and then pay him rent. So far, it's a very normal situation for their time and place. But then the story gets crazy. When harvest comes and the landowner sends his servants out to get the rent from the farmers seize these servants who are there collecting the rent. They beat them, they stoned them, and they killed them, which no one in the world would do. You don't kill the man who comes to collect the rent. You could ignore him. You could rudely shut the door in his face, but you don't kill him. That's insane. And the story gets crazier. Instead of calling the police or sending his own hired goons to avenge his servants and to destroy these wicked men, the landowner sends more servants to go and say, please, may we have the rent in fruit. And that's what we're talking about, fruit, not gold, grapes. He sent more servants. At what point is the landowner responsible for these men's lives? Now, can you see the faces of the Pharisees right now as Jesus is telling the story? Their faces must be all confused as to what in the world Jesus is talking about. When those servants get stoned and beaten and killed, again, the landowner does not send in the militia. Rather, he says, I know what I'll do. I'll send them my son. They will respect the son, they'll like him, and they'll see that I'm a nice guy, and they'll finally give me the rent that we agreed upon when we made the deal. At this point, the landowner seems ridiculously naive. But what is just as ridiculous is the thinking of these farmers. This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. How does killing the heir give the inheritance to the killers? Getting land is a legal thing. You can't kill the heir and get what was going to be given to him later on. It doesn't work that way. The law would never allow it. But this makes perfect sense when you look at the history of sinners. Now, we all know what this story is about. This story is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the other prophets that the Lord sent to his people Israel. This story is about the patience of God the Father and how much he put up with Israel and their rebellion and their rejection of his word over and over until they finally killed his son. But sinners have always wanted to kill God. And you have to understand that if you're going to look around the world and understand what's going on around us and what's going on inside of us. See, if I can kill God, if I can get rid of God, then I have no one to answer to when it comes to the end of my life. If I can claim that God didn't make me, if I can say that I just evolved on this earth and I just came into being by chance, then there is no God to sit as judge over me at the end of time. If I can convince myself that God is a fable, that means that there is no right and wrong. There is no good and evil. There is no such thing as sin if God has not made any holy laws. And God has not made any holy laws if there is no God. Therefore, there also is no hell. And there's no one who can tell me what to do with my days. And I can do anything I want, and no one can ever judge me. That is the good, logical thinking of these farmers. And then Jesus put the question to the Pharisees. What will the landowner do to those tenant farmers? What do you want to happen to them? And by this time, the Pharisees are so riled up. They've been suckered in by Jesus' story, and their justice inside of them moves them to declare their own judgment upon themselves. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they say. Now, the point of this parable is found in Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. As a perfectly sized and shaped cornerstone is rejected by builders of a building, so also the perfect Son of God was rejected by the religious leaders of Israel. And so they also rejected their Savior and their salvation. Their forefathers had persecuted and killed the prophets that the Lord had sent to them to drive them into repentance. And they themselves refused to give God the fruits of repentance that the Lord expects of all people. And again, in 3 days, they would toss the Son of God out of the city of Jerusalem, have him march up to Golgotha, and crucify him. Therefore, the kingdom of God would be taken away from them, and we would be given to a people who would give God his fruit, who would appreciate God's gift of his Son sacrificed for us sinners, and who would repent daily in front of the holy God, who has the ability to condemn as well as to save. This gospel of salvation was removed from Israel within one generation of them rejecting the Christ. The gospel of Jesus then was sent west as the Apostle Paul took it out to the Gentiles, who were amazed that God would love them so much as to send his Son to be their Savior. And that gospel has come all the way around the world to hear, to you. What will you do with it? Will you give God what he desires? Or will you chase God out of your heart and fill it back up with all the worldly lusts and hobbies of this place? And Jesus adds, whoever falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Well, that's no good. The picture is of a stone left over at a construction site. It just lays in the yard and someone comes along and trips over it and is broken. These are people who can't, just can't get on board with Jesus and his word. Things keep tripping them up. They like the idea of Jesus, but they can't get on board with the suffering Savior. A suffering Savior who insists that his people who come behind him suffer also. They keep getting tripped up on the ideas of infant baptism, closed communion, and the infallible Word of God. These are people who are broken. And we should be very patient with them as we try to slowly win them for the Lord, lest they fall and be lost. But then, there are also those enemies of the Lord Jesus and his church, those who will be crushed by the stone when it falls on them. They rail and they wail against Christ and his church. They work in the shadows around us, thwarting the gospel and the church's work. And they seem to get away with spreading their venom. But the day is coming when the Lord's patience will run out on these people, when they have ruined their last servant of the Lord. And the great, precious, and perfect cornerstone will fall on them. That is the last day. The last day will fall on them like a ton of bricks. And they will be driven into the ground so hard that they will be pushed all the way down to the lake of fire, where the devil himself has to suffer forever. How important is it to give to God what is God's? repentance, faith, unyielding love, devotion. Let the world have the world's things, its treasures and its pleasures. You have Christ. You have God's own Son, who was sacrificed for your sins. Get out of your own way. Repent of your sins daily. Read the scriptures for yourselves and cling to Christ alone, who alone can save you forever. He is truly marvelous in our eyes. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.